Today's podcast of The Takeaway is made possible by Liberty Mutual's Responsibility Project, encouraging discussion about what it means to do the right thing. ResponsibilityProject.com.
Help for Haiti, the unreal reality.
I need help, man. I need help. She's fighting, but I need help.
Prayer and God aren't going to help anybody right now.
There's no help. There's no help in here.
Direct action is what's going to help people.
Nobody in here, man. She's fighting, but there's no help.
People are going to help people right now.
Frustrated voices inside and outside Haiti. Relief efforts are stalled by chaos, and a humanitarian Hail Mary answers Haiti's angry cry for help. People needing people now on The Takeaway.
All across America, this is The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Celeste Headlee from Public Radio International and WNYC.
Good morning, everyone. It's Friday, January 15th, and The Takeaway quite literally is frustration in Haiti and urgency. And if you can get cameras into Haiti, why not humanitarian supplies? That's really the question.
You know, the cameras, the images that are coming out of Haiti, I can barely stand to look at.
Well, let's put that question directly to Adrian Carrigan. He's the Senior Vice President of the Catholic Medical Mission Board. He joins us from New York. Adrian, if you can get cameras into these locations, why not medical supplies? Thinking about that frustrated man in Port-au-Prince, the audio we just played.
Well, thanks, John and Celeste. It is a big challenge for all of us. We're counting on the supplies that we have there currently. We've been on the ground in Haiti for about 100 years. So those supplies are helping the people immediately, but the logistical challenges of getting the supplies from the airport to the sites is the biggest challenge for all of us.
And we're going to talk about those challenges in just a moment. Stay with us, Adrian Carrigan of Catholic Medical Mission Board. We're going to talk about that in just a second.
Let's get to the top stories we're following this morning. The scene outside one hospital in Port-au-Prince shows the mountain of anguish in the shattered city. Hundreds of corpses are being piled up. People are pulling their shirts over their faces to filter out the smell of the dead.
It's hell on earth right now, to be honest. It's just really bad here.
Yesterday, 7,000 people were buried in a mass grave with bulldozers gathering bodies that lined the streets. The Red Cross estimates that 50,000 people were killed. This aid worker says the catastrophe is beyond comprehension.
I don't care how much training and how much experience you have. You know, I don't think anybody's ever, you know, ready to see what some of our guys have already seen.
For thousands, it was another night spent amid the rubble. This American teacher in Haiti describes the danger for people even trying to sleep.
They'll put two or three big blocks of concrete at their head and two or three big blocks of concrete at their feet so as to stop a car from running over them, and they just sleep in the street at night.
As the distance between life and death narrows in Port-au-Prince, President Obama had this message.
To the people of Haiti, we say clearly and with conviction, you will not be forsaken, you will not be forgotten.
The president pledged $100 million in initial aid, calling it one of the largest relief efforts in history.
And it's become a 24-hour-a-day airlift. 300 military personnel are now on the ground, a number that will increase to 5,000 by next week, we're told. Tons of equipment and supplies now arriving. But since the airport has only a single runway, things are backing up. The port at the city was also destroyed by this week's earthquake.
Looking at the markets, Asian and European markets are mixed. Futures are flat. The Dow will start at 10,710. The S&P opens at 1,148 and the NASDAQ at 2,316.
Well, Haiti is dominating the news as we see, but there's plenty going on this week, heading into the weekend. We're going to talk about the Golden Globe predictions, the Golden Globe Awards, which, of course, look ahead to the Oscars. Takeaway TV and movie critics Delaina Dixon and Rafer Guzman are going to be here. And, you know, this is Friday. All right, and it's open season on NBC. Have you noticed?
Yeah.
The late night talk show hosts, what are they saying?
Now, suppose that we were moving to 11:30, but even this is not sure. See, my people are upset, Conan's people are upset. Hey, NBC said they wanted drama at 10. Now they got it. Now they got it. Everybody's mad. Exactly.
These guys paid millions of dollars and they get to trash their bosses on the air. In the middle of a recession, folks, if you were on your way out the door and had a chance to do a monologue to millions of people about your bosses, what would you say? Get in on the fun. Don't just let Leno and Conan do it. Call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE. Do your exit interview on our air. MyTAKE at thetakeaway.org.
You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Celeste Headlee.
Good morning, everyone. Thinking about Haiti, this scene that I'm about to play you here, you heard a bit of it at the top of the hour, recorded by a BBC reporter at a hospital in Port-au-Prince, sort of says it all about what's going on in Haiti today.
I need help, man. I need help. She's fighting, but I need help.
Are you getting any help?
No, there's no help. There's no help in here. The kids is dying. She want to fight. She's fighting, but there's no help. You know, she need to go to the operation room. You know what I'm saying? There's nobody in here, man. We know there's no help.
That man speaking to the BBC, pleading for a doctor, pleading for someone to give his daughter an operation. Perhaps it's a 21st century question, but when we see Dr. Sanjay Gupta in a T-shirt and Anderson Cooper there, why aren't they saving people's lives? If you can get cameras in there, why can't you get humanitarian supplies in there? Of course, people at CNN are hardworking, and for all we know, Sanjay Gupta, when he's off camera, may be saving lives. But it certainly poses the question pointedly in this day and age, why can't humanitarian supplies flow as freely as information and pictures? Adrian Carrigan, Senior Vice President of the Catholic Medical Mission Board, joins us from New York. He sort of talked a little bit about the challenges. We go now to Port-au-Prince, where Chloe Gons-Rugbrecht, the health delegate to the Haiti delegation of the American Red Cross, joins us on a Skype connection that's a little iffy, like all of the communications in Haiti this morning. Chloe, first of all, if you can get cameras into Port-au-Prince, why not doctors with scalpels and medical equipment?
Well, good morning, John and Celeste. First, I do want to say that there are many doctors and nurses that are trying to do what they can with very limited supplies. But right now, there's no inn into Port-au-Prince. The runway, as of last night when I went to sleep, was shut. Medical supplies are coming through the Dominican Republic. It's just simply not enough to respond to the 2 to 3 million people who need help right now.
Well, that math is stark and grim. And how do you set priorities then, working with what you have, knowing that the supplies are piling up at the airport and the casualties are piling up in the neighborhoods of Port-au-Prince?
It's very, very difficult. We have a huge team of volunteers that's working on the ground, volunteers that have come from all over the country as well as from the Dominican Republic. We have teams that are coming in from all over the country. Some came in yesterday, some are coming in today to do search and rescue, other teams that are just providing basic first response and first aid. But basically the infrastructure, what little infrastructure was there, was totally devastated. So even the hospitals are just inundated. Many doctors and nurses are missing under the rubble as well. So we've just lost everything
and
at the center of the country.
As we pointed out earlier this week, the United Nations took the biggest single hit, their largest loss of life in the history of peacekeeping for the United Nations. And that, of course, is an infrastructure that would be expected to rise to the occasion here, and they're struggling. Adrian Carrigan, talk a little bit about setting priorities. And you heard the frustration in Chloe Gans-Rugbrecht's voice there. How do you set priorities when you are so limited, both in what you can get in and the people that you can reach?
Perfect example of that is our country director, Dr. Diane Jean-Francois. We have a instant messenger connection open with her. And the first priority was to help the staff and their families get out of the rubble. And then secondly, getting to the hospitals, which have been destroyed, and setting up triage and perimeters around the hospital, and then to take care of the dead. And that is a major effort right now, which is requiring all the logistical equipment for clearing the roads to get those folks, and then to take care of the sick and wounded. We're getting some supplies in. We're fortunate that we have a lot of supplies there, and we have a major shipment arriving tomorrow. And we've contracted some helicopters to get them out to the perimeter so that we can treat some of the really folks who really need it most.
You know, the frustration, I think, for a lot of Americans is reflected for moments this week in our own editorial process here. There's a producer on our staff who keeps instant messaging me, like right now, why not an airdrop, Adrian Carrigan? Can you just drop supplies into a place like Port-au-Prince and bypass the airport altogether, or does that create more problems?
You have to realize that we're talking about an area that is so concentrated with folks and a mountain mountainous region, that there's really no opportunity to do something like that. You have to have a central staging area. We are going to try some form of that logistic, but it's going to have to be really targeted, and you need to be able to get the amount of supplies we're getting in. We have a 747 going in on Saturday morning, and then trying to get those supplies out to the place needed most. You can't really do a big airdrop.
Chloe Gons-Rugebrecht, how do you tell your triage workers what to do when they're so limited and they really have to make decisions very, very quickly? What's your advice to them?
Well, they are just treating people who can be treated for now, trying to stop blood flow, fixing basic wounds with antiseptic, and basically putting them aside to be sent to hospitals and health clinics. But there are not many hospitals and health clinics that are accepting people, so we're just taking them to certain other places where other doctors are posted taking care of.
I mean, Chloe, I have to say, that sounds like the hardest job in the universe right now. I mean, would you agree?
Yeah, it's daunting.
I mean, I can't even imagine doing such a thing.
It is. It's really daunting. And I have a friend who is not working for the Red Cross, but works for another humanitarian organization, who had 5 people die in her arms yesterday, bleeding out. It's impossible.
All right. To Chloe Gons-Rugebrecht is the health delegate to the Haiti delegation of the American Red Cross. You can hear her there via Skype connection in Port-au-Prince. Thanks to Adrian Carrigan, Senior Vice President of the Catholic Medical Mission Board, joining us from Long Island. Thank you, Adrian. We want to put your voices into this program as well. We've been hearing a lot from you. We posed the question yesterday, whose responsibility is it to deal with the humanitarian crisis in Haiti? Here was one of your responses.
This is Diana from Long Beach. The U.S. does not have to do anything. We would like to do things, and we can do things privately, and we can do things through the government, but we do not have to do anything. We have put millions of dollars into Haiti over the last several decades, just trying to build infrastructure and keep people alive, and that's my takeaway.
You can reach us at 877-8-MY-TAKE or email us at mytake@thetakeaway.org. Diana wasn't alone in that sense that we don't have to do anything, but there were some people who said we ought to rise to the occasion.
Hi, this is Larry from Brooklyn. As far as whose responsibility it is to rescue the people of Haiti, I think nobody ever said it better than John Donne, who said, "No man is an island," and finished his sonnet with, "Never sent to know for whom the bell tolls, it tolls for thee."
The bell tolls for all of us here on The Takeaway. And at 15 minutes after the hour, let's check in on the headlines.
As we've been talking about, emergency aid is flowing from around the world toward Haiti today. Over 300 U.S. military personnel were on the ground as of yesterday. Nearly 3,000 more will arrive today. By Monday, more than 5,000 soldiers and Marines are scheduled to be there. There's other news going on today, too, though. The White House and labor unions say they've reached an agreement on a proposal to tax high-cost health insurance policies. President Obama says Democrats are now on the verge of passing a historic health care bill.
Today, we are on the doorstep of accomplishing something that Washington has been talking about since Teddy Roosevelt was president, and that is reforming health care and health insurance here in America.
Later in the show, we'll get more from our Washington correspondent, Todd Zwillick. Healthcare wasn't President Obama's only focus yesterday. He also proposed a new tax on banks in an effort to recover an estimated $90 billion over the next decade. The tax would only affect banks, insurance companies, and Wall Street trading houses with assets of more than $50 billion.
Meanwhile, the president has been speaking out on Wall Street bonuses. He called the $1 million bonuses for bank executives announced this week obscene and vowed to clamp down on them. Financial results from banks like J.P. Morgan show compensation for executives remains at near record levels. Report on the Fort Hood shooting is expected to be released today. The Pentagon inquiry is expected to find fault with supervisors of the shooter. And that's a look at some of the stories we're following this morning.
At the Takeaway blog, you can read a field update written by our guest that you heard earlier, Chloe Gons-Rugebrecht from Port-au-Prince. Read it at thetakeaway.org. Coming up, finance reporter Louise Storti joins us. She's going to look at the fundraising effort for Haiti's recovery. Already, more than $5 million has been raised just through text messages.
You can email us at mytake@thetakeaway.org or call us toll-free at 877-8-MYTAKE.
869-8253.
Thanks for listening to the Takeaway Podcast. If there's a story you think we should look at or a conversation you'd like us to start, drop us a line at 877-8-MY-TAKE or email us at mytake@thetakeaway.org.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.